Yep. You're right. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. Grace. Grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's method of dealing with man. What is grace? I think we heard a little bit about grace just now. That God would reach down to you and me and He would draw us and He would love us and He would care for us even when we didn't care anything about Him. That's grace. Grace is different from mercy. Mercy says, you hate me and you've offended me and you've hurt me, but I'm not going to hurt you back. Grace says, not only am I not going to hurt you back, I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to forgive you for these things, and I'm going to heal the differences between us. And I'm going to bring you back into a right relationship with myself. And that's what God did for us in Christ Jesus. Oh, the riches of God's grace. God's grace can't be described in my mind. I can't put it together how much God loves us. He says, God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. God came to us and we were dead. A dead man can't see. A dead man can't find his way. A dead man can't save himself. A dead man couldn't get his way out of the grave. And He said, while you were dead in your sins, I came to you in Jesus Christ, and I made you alive by my grace. What a great thing God has done. But He didn't stop there. In His grace, He raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. All throughout eternity, throughout the eternity and ages of ages and years of years and millennium of millennium, all we're going to be able to do is just express our joy and our praise and our worship to the Lord for the grace that He had to us as He reveals to us the grace that He had to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? Here's the God who saved us from hell. Here's the God who saved us from a dead life. Here's the God who saved us to Himself. Here's the God who brings us into heaven. Here's the God who makes us in His Son. Here's the God who accepts us in the Beloved. Here's the God who loves us and gives Himself for us. For eternity, we're going to be realizing what kind of grace this was. You know that the hardness of our hearts and the wickedness of our human hearts today, even though we've been given a new heart in Christ Jesus, that old man that we carry around with us, he'll never understand the grace of God. We'll never be able to fully know the grace of God until we're in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that the grace of God alone is sufficient to save and to keep the soul. There was nothing in heaven or in earth that could save us but God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Whom shall I go? Whom shall I send? He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. Peter says this, whenever there was an argument going on between the Pharisees, the Jewish believers, about the Gentile believers. And the Jewish believers were saying, you need to be circumcised and to keep the law of Moses. And Peter stands up finally and he says, we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be saved even as they. He said, it has nothing to do with circumcision. It has nothing to do with keeping the law. It's by the grace of God that we're saved. And he says, just like they are, just like the Gentiles are. Can you imagine a Jew saying that? By the grace of God, we're going to be saved just like these Gentiles are. And he puts the Gentiles in the first place. And he says, they're saved by grace and we're going to be saved the same way. What an example. Those who were called dogs, those who were rejected, those who were, we were without God in the world. And we were strangers from the covenants and from the promises. And God comes to us and by his grace he reaches down and he draws to himself a Gentile bride, a Gentile church. And by doing this, he shows the Jews what he's done. And they come to him. Paul said in Galatians 1 that I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. This is the gospel of the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the good news. That God's reaching you and me through his grace. That God's coming to me and you through grace. And he's not coming to us through our works. And he's not coming to us through our goodness. And he's not coming to us through our religion. But he says, I love you and I want to save you. And I'm doing everything that there can be to be done to save you. And that was his grace. He says, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, then that you have received, let him be accursed. Grace by Jesus Christ came as the means of salvation rather than by the law of Moses. He tells us in John that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ was so full of grace that when he walked the earth and men spat on him and men rejected him and men crucified him to the cross, he would say, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. I don't have the grace for when somebody runs over me for 5 minutes to forgive them myself, much less to ask God to forgive them. But the Lord Jesus Christ was so full of grace that he had the grace to forgive man. And when he was on the earth, you remember the woman that was brought to him in adultery. And they came to him and they said, Moses says in the law that this woman's to die. We're to stone her to death. And Jesus said, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And all of them were convicted by their consciences and one by one they went out from the oldest to the youngest and they left. And they left her there standing alone with the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did he say to her? Your sins are forgiven, you go and sin no more. Or neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. We who are so willing to cast stones and we who are so willing to condemn, the Lord Jesus Christ is full of such grace that rather than kill this woman, rather than being the first one, he had the right. He had the authority. He had every reason to cast first stone by the righteousness of God. And by not casting this first stone, he showed us the grace of God. He showed us the grace that God had toward us from eternity past that we'd failed to see. He showed us the grace of God that when in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve took this fruit and they ate it and they sinned against God. And he said, he told them, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And they ran and they hid from God, it says, for they were naked. And it said that God came in the cool of the day, and it was as if he had been walking with Adam, and he'd been talking to Adam all this time, and they'd walked in sweet fellowship. He comes to the garden, and there's Adam and Eve, and they've hid themselves, and they've put fig leaves over themselves, and they're trying to hide from God. And he says, Adam, where are you? That's the grace of God. Here were two people who had been told, don't eat of this or you'll die. And they ate of it and he didn't come and kill them. He came to them and he says, where are you? Come to me. And it says, and he took the skin of an animal and he clothed them with it. And that spoke to us of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ when we were lost in sins and we were undone. God loved us so much that he came to us while we were hiding, while we were staying away from him, while we didn't want nothing to do with us. And he says, where are you? And here we covered ourselves up with religious practices and with everything that we thought would do and it wouldn't do. And God came to us and he says, I love you and I've killed a lamb for you. And I'm going to clothe you with his righteousness. That's grace. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law came by Moses, but he couldn't bring grace and truth. What did Jesus do? Whenever he came on the earth, he came and he said, I'm come not to destroy the law of the prophets. I'm come not to destroy, but to fulfill. And the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on this earth, he took the law and he magnified it. Let me read to you what he says. Truly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Not a comma, not an exclamation point, not a period. No, not even the littlest part of the law pass till it's all fulfilled. And what condemning words that must have been whenever they were standing there and they hear, all the law has to be fulfilled. And yet, we were powerless to fulfill it. And whoever will break one of the least of these commandments and teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever do and teach them shall be called the great in the kingdom of heaven. Now listen to what he says. For I say to you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. You've heard it said of old time, you shall not kill, but whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. He says, you understand the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. If you kill, you'll be in danger of judgment. He says, but I'm going to tell you something. He says, it wasn't just an outward thing that God was talking to you about. God was talking to you about something that was in your heart. He was trying to show you something that was in the heart of man. To be angry without a cause against your brother is murder. And you're in danger of the judgment for that. It's not simply thou shalt not kill, but you shall not kill in your heart. It wasn't simply thou shalt not commit adultery, but you shall not look on a woman to lust after her in your heart. He took grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. It wasn't just the law, but it was the truth of the law. He came and he told what the law truly meant and what the law truly was. And when he did that, the condemnation came and men understood, oh, what a pitiful state we were in. Paul said, I wouldn't have known sin except that he said, thou shalt not covet. And when the law said, thou shalt not covet, it slew him. It killed him. And Jesus Christ came and he showed us what the truth was. By his grace, though, he fulfilled the law. He said, I'm come not to destroy, but to fulfill. By his grace, he fulfilled the law. Listen, that we by grace should receive eternal life. Jesus Christ, by grace, fulfilled the law of God so that we could come by his grace and receive eternal life. We wouldn't have to fulfill the law. We would walk into the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the law having already been fulfilled for us, it had been satisfied. It had been satisfied by the fact that Jesus Christ lived a perfect life and he fulfilled the law in that way. But he also fulfilled the penal aspect of the law in that he took the punishment for sin. He fulfilled the law in that sense for everyone. We sing a song that says, Jesus magnified the law, Jesus bore the awful curse. Sin had reigned up to this point because of the sin nature inherited from Adam. And it even used the law as a means of destruction. Sin reigned and it used the law to destroy us. When the law said, thou shalt not covet, we found out we wanted to covet more. When the law said, thou shalt not kill, we found out that in our heart we wanted to murder. When the law said, thou shalt not steal, we found out in our heart that we wanted to steal. When the law said, thou shalt obey thy mother and father, we found out we didn't want to obey our mother and father. Sin taking occasion by the law slew us. It put us to death because It was the very sin nature in us was the rebellious nature, and it said, I will not keep the law of God. And when the law of God was showed to us, sin says, I'm not going to do it. We inherited that from Adam. It used the law as a means of destruction, but after the death of Christ on the cross, it lost its power. Listen to this. After the death of Christ on the cross, sin lost its power. Sin lost its dominion. Sin lost its control. Sin lost its punishment. Sin lost its ability to enslave you and me. It no longer has dominion over me. He now says to me, as a Christian, he says, know ye not that whomsoever you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are? Whether of sin unto death, or of righteousness unto eternal life. And he says, now as a Christian, you're no longer bound by this old sin nature, and sin no longer has the power and the dominion and the rule over you, but I set you free. And he says, and if he will set you free, you shall be free indeed. And I no longer have to go under the dominion and the authority of sin, because by the death of Jesus Christ, through the grace of God, he put to death the very dominion of sin in my life. He can do it for you. It lost its power to those who believe, because through the death and resurrection of Christ, grace now reigns through righteousness in the life of the believer unto eternal life by Jesus Christ the Lord. He says in Romans 5, and he sums up everything I've been saying, by one man's death, by one man's disobedience, many were constituted sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And the law entered that the offense might abound. And where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's break that down a little bit. Sin reigned unto death. In the reign of sin, the only thing that sin could do was rule unto death. And all that sin could ever do in its reign was ultimately bring death to those who were under its dominion. And he said, and it reigned unto death. But now, because of the death of Jesus Christ, because of the one man's righteous act on the cross, dying for the sins of the world, grace reigns through righteousness. Through righteousness. It's a righteous thing that God does in ruling and reigning in the life of His children through grace. God didn't just say, I'm going to overlook their sins and I'm going to pass over them and I'm not going to pay them any attention and I'm just going to love them and I'm going to rule in their life. He didn't say that, because that would have been unrighteous and He wouldn't have been reigning in righteousness. He said, they have sinned against me, and they're no more worthy to be called my children. But because I love them, I'm going to give my son for them, and he's going to die for their sins. And then he can come to us in his grace and say, now I reign in your right life, and it's a righteous thing that I do as I reign through grace in your life. Whenever I say, and it's by Jesus Christ our Lord, that's what he's saying, it's by Jesus Christ our Lord. He's my Lord today. He reigns in my life. He is the ruler of my life. I may not submit to Him all the time, but it doesn't change the fact. Sinners are ruled by sin. And even if they're not cursing every moment of their life, they're still ruled by it. And I may not be praising God every moment, and I may not be talking about Jesus Christ every moment, but He still reigns in my life. Through His grace. He gives you that kind of hope. Being under the reign of grace, sin lost its dominion because the old man died in Christ and rose into the new man in Christ. Why did sin lose its dominion? He says in Romans 6:14, sin shall not have dominion over you. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but it's Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. He says, listen to this, I'm dead with Christ. My old man died with Christ, but I'm still alive. Excuse me. But he says, but it's not me that's alive. It's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I live by the Christ that's in me. By the Son of God, by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So many people say, I can't live the Christian life, but they don't understand grace. He says in Ephesians 4:22-24, you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And he says, now you have a new man, and he's created in righteousness and true holiness. It's not I that live, but it's Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And God's not asking you to come and to live a life for God of your own power. He's coming to you and say, I want to forgive you of your sins because I love you and I sent my Son to die for you. And not only I don't stop there with my grace, that's saving grace. He said, I've got some living grace for you. The same one who saves, keeps. The same one who saves, lives. Paul says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace that was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. What a powerful thought. He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, I preach the message of Jesus Christ. That's what I am. But it's by the grace of God. And it wasn't in vain. Because when he bestowed this grace on me, I labored. He gave me the grace of preaching the gospel. And I labored in the gospel. But it wasn't me, it was the grace of God that was with me. Because we have no strength of ourselves, not even to serve God. There's no power within ourselves. We have to live by the grace of God. He says in Corinthians 2:9-8, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. He says that by my grace abounding towards you, you'll have sufficiency in all things, and you'll abound to every good work. But it's by the grace of God. The grace of God toward us is unequaled. You know, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might be made rich. Here was the one who was in heaven, the God of gods. He says that he didn't think it a thing to be robbery, to be called equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He who was God, he who thought it was nothing to be grabbed after to be God, made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, made in the fashion of a man, and became obedient even to death, the death of the cross. Why? That we, through his poverty, might be made rich. Here the richest one that ever was, God of gods, creator of all things of heaven and earth, and everything in them, and everything under the earth, he became poor for our sakes, so that we, through his poverty, might be made rich. Oh, the riches of the glory and grace of God. Ephesians 1:6-7 says this, to the praise of the glory of his grace wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. He doesn't just stop with saying, I've made you rich, I've made you rich, I've set you in heavenly places in Christ, you're in heaven. He says you're accepted in the beloved. And just as much as Jesus Christ was accepted by the Father, he said you're accepted by the Father. And just as much as Jesus Christ was righteous in the sight of God, he says, you are righteous in the sight of God. And just as much as he was God's child. We're God's child. The only exception being He was the Son of God. And we're children of God. He's made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace. It's no empty, useless grace. It's an effective one. He tells us in Titus 2:11, 13 that the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. It's not an ineffective, empty grace. It's a grace that brings salvation to man. And it's appeared to all men. And what does it do? It teaches us. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The grace of God teaches us that we deny all these worldly lusts, and we deny all our old ways, and we deny the old man. And we look for the Savior from heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ, and we look for the day that He comes. As our brother said in his testimony, He's going to come. It's going to be in the twinkling of an eye. He's going to come and He's going to receive us unto Himself. And the grace makes us look for that. God's grace finds its strength in our weaknesses. This is something to praise God for. He finds His strength in our weaknesses. Paul, being a man of God, being shown many revelations by God, he receives a messenger of Satan to buffet him. Some kind of a sickness or some kind of a disease or some kind of a ailment that was on him. And God, he comes to God and he wants it to depart from him, and he prays three times and he just begs the Lord, let it go, get it away from me. And God says to him, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The grace of God this evening is looking for the weak person. The grace of God is looking for those who are unwanted, those who are uncared for, those who are downcast, those who are downtrodden, those who are considered to be the scum of the earth. Those are the kind of people that God reaches down and He saves them and He pulls them out of the muck and the mire of their lives. And He brings them into a right relationship with Him. And what God has called clean, let no man call unclean. God can take the worst kind of person, He can make them anew. There are people walking around today that they tell you what they were, and you say, I can't believe you was ever like that. It's because the grace of God reached down to that person, and He lifted them up out of their sins, and He cleaned them up, and He set them in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and it made them a new person in Christ. The world doesn't need morality. The world doesn't need better plans. It doesn't need more welfare. It needs the Lord Jesus Christ and His salvation, His grace. All this hate that's going on in the world can't be cured by councils. It can't be cured by talking to each other. The only thing it can be cured by is the grace of God in Jesus Christ when He takes that hate and He does away with it. And He's the only one that can do it. And I rejoice when God says, you see your calling, brethren. How not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God's chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. God's chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things that are despised is God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. That's why an old wretched drug dealing sinner can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, because he wasn't nothing. And God chose him to lift up and to give the grace and the glory of God to you in the message. And he's done it so many times over and over. We talk about this woman taking an adultery. You remember the man who was a demoniac, and they had to bind him with chains, and he would still get loose, and he would walk, and everybody was in fear of him. But when Jesus Christ came, the man was saved. The demons were cast out, and it says he was sitting there clothed and in his right mind. And he said, I want to go with you. Jesus said, no, I want you to stay here, and I want you to tell everybody around here about it. I was reading the story about that man. Somebody read a story and never thought of it. He said he was telling me to leave him. Here was the one who cast the demons out of me. Here was the one who freed me from this bondage. And he was telling me to leave him. He said, but after he's gone, I saw him in the trees, and I saw him in the flowers, and I saw him in the wind, and I saw him in the sea. And I knew that he was God, and he loved me. Everything was new. The Bible says, behold, all things are passed away. The old things are passed away, everything's become new. I remember when I was saved, that's exactly how it was. I didn't have to have Jesus standing in front of me. I could see the flock. He chose the weak things of this world, that no flesh should glory in his presence. We're not going to stand in front of God and say, well, look what I've done. We're going to say, look at your grace. Look at your son. And we're going to fall before him in everything that we've ever done for him. We're going to cast before his feet and his form a crown. We're going to say, worthy is the Lamb. He, of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He's made all that to us by God the Father. What a plan. The Bible says that he might be just and justifier of them which believe. I think, just to tell you tonight, the Lord loves you. He's extended his grace to you. If you're saved, he's extending his grace to us every moment. He says, and grace for grace, or grace upon grace, upon grace, upon grace. For every moment of our lives that we live, we have the grace of God there for it. If we need something from him, he's got grace for it. He'll give us grace to endure one more moment pain, or one more moment of tribulation, or one more moment of trial, or whatever it is we need his grace for. And he has grace that saves. He starts with the salvation grace and continues with the living grace. It's all in Jesus Christ. It's grace. That's why we sing, grace, grace, God, grace. Grace that is greater than all my sin. Wonderful, marvelous, matchless grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10 million years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing his grace than when we first begun. We don't know the grace of God yet, but we're going to know it one day. He said, the grace of God that appears at the appearing of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ appears in the heavens to take his church to himself, suddenly we're going to appear with him in glory, and we're going to realize the grace of God. I can't imagine. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace this evening. Lord, we've preached about your judgment this week, Lord, and it's been hard messages. Difficult to take, Lord. Difficult to preach. Father, when we come to the final message and it's the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, Lord, we just rejoice. We were ruled by the flesh. We were bound for hell. We were strangers from the faith. Lord, we didn't stand on the foundations of your word. God, you in grace came to us in your Son and you saved us. And you offer that gift of salvation to whosoever will. So, Father, we just pray for that soul tonight that doesn't know you. Pray that you would use this message by your Spirit and effectually touch that heart. Draw them to yourself by your grace. And let them believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.